Do I stress you out? My sweater is on backwards and inside out, and you say how appropriate. I don't want to dissect everything today. I don't mean to pick you apart, you see, but I can't help it. And there I go, jumping before the gunshot has gone off. Slap me with the splintered ruler. And it would knock me to the floor if I wasn't there already. If only I could hunt the hunter. And all I really want is some patience. Do I wear you out? You must wonder why I'm relentless and all strung out. I'm consumed by the chill of solitary. I'm like Estella. I like to reel it in and then spit it out. I'm frustrated by your apathy.
Cats and kittens. This is DJ Squidward. You are listening to Tidal Land Arena on the one and only KDVS Davis 90.3 FM. Let me turn this up. There we go. Okay, the following views presented in this hour do not reflect the views of KDVS, KDVS sponsors, or the University of California. Hello, everybody. Today is Tuesday. It's a beautiful Tuesday out there. I think it's supposed to be a beautiful Tuesday. I think it's supposed to be like 77 degrees in Davis. That's pretty good. That's pretty beautiful, isn't it? I got like 2 hours of sleep last night. It wasn't even my fault. I just couldn't fall asleep. So yeah, after this, I'm going to go back to bed. But whatever. Lots of sports stuff happened this week and last week, too. A lot of stuff happened this week. So we got a jam-packed episode today, and I'm just going to get right into it. No talks about my weekend, no talks about the cat. We're just going to get right into it. WNBA. The Liberty sent the Lynx packing back to Minnesota without a ring, without a trophy. New York Liberty have won the finals for the first time in franchise history. Let's go. Let me pull up some applause for this, because this is a applause sound effect. Yeah, this one. This is very big. This is very big for everybody. wait a second. It's loading. It's loading. Oh. Yes. Your New York Liberty are the 2024 WNBA champions. They beat the Lynx in overtime. Yes, I know. Thank you. Okay, that's enough for today. Yeah, it's the first finals win in franchise history. It's a very fun game. Some people say that the Lynx were robbed of the championship. But I don't know, New York or nowhere, City Girls Up cry about it. I don't really I mean, if it was a 5-game series, it's really hard for something to be robbed from you. If it took the whole entire series for them to beat you. So I can't say that the team was robbed. I also didn't watch most of the game. I only watched the end, like the overtime part, because I was also watching another game that I was stressing about, and I had work to do also. But once that overtime notification hit my phone, I was like, I gotta watch this. This is gonna be crazy. But yeah, New York won. Great. I'm so tired. Jonquil Jones won the finals MVP also. I think she averaged 18 points and 6 rebounds for the entirety of the finals. So yeah, let's go Zhangpo Jones. I'm going to actually more applause for her because she deserves it. Yeah, let's go Zhangpo Jones. She moved from the Bahamas to the United States when she was 13 and was like living with strangers. And then the University of Maryland like allowed her to play there. And then she was able to become one of the best WNBA players out there right now. Or I think that might be a little much, but she was a very important player for this series for the past 2 years. Honestly, she's been very good. We only got her like last season, so she's been very important for us. I love Jonquil Jones. But yeah, New York won, so season's over. No more WNBA until next summer, next spring. However, Unrivaled starts in January, I believe, so I will talk about that in January. But there is actually still more WNBA news to talk about because I think the WNBA Players Association rejected to, they opt out of the CBA, which is a collective bargaining agreement that the WNBA gave the players. And that, I'm going to read off of, ESPN, that, they're facing a potential work stoppage. WNBA players have opted out of their current collective bargaining agreement and face the prospect of work stoppage if they do not negotiate a new deal with the league by the end of the 2025 season. So not this year, but if they don't negotiate at the end of next season, then they're not going to be playing, according to ESPN's Chinee Ogwumike. And Nneka Ogwumike, her sister, says, opting out isn't just about bigger paychecks. It's about claiming our rightful share of the business we've built, improving working conditions, and securing a future where the success we create benefits today's players and the generations to come. So I also found another thing this morning that said, podcast host Steve Rotz, said, quote, currently WNBA players receive about 10% of the league revenue, whereas in the NBA, for comparison, players receive 50% of the total NBA revenue. They're not asking to be paid what the men are paid. They're asking for a fair share, end quote. The WNBA was never my favorite league because of how shady their, they don't really report on how they are paid, how much they're making and what they're paying the players. I think I talked about this earlier in the year. How I'm not the biggest fan of the WNBA and its management. But we will see what comes out of that. Maybe I'll have more news to tell you next week about that. I was actually supposed to talk about this next week, but I found a lot of information on it. I'll read up more on it, and I'll give you more news next week. But yeah, so that's all the WNBA news I have for you. Let's go to soccer. We actually have three sports today. Soccer, basketball, and hockey. But in the NWSL, Gotham beat Orlando 3-1 on Sunday at Kelly O'Hara's retirement game. This is their Orlando's second loss in a row. I don't know if it's because I know for Portland, they underestimated the strength of Portland. I don't know what the lineup was for this game because, again, I was quite busy. But it was 3-1. Sam Hyatt scored her first career goal. Then Rose Lavelle scored after that. And then Esther Stevens scored after that as well. So it was a great goal. Great game. I was actually afraid of this game looking forward into the future over the summer because I was like, oh, they're not going to win that game. But they proved me wrong, I guess. But as I said, it was Kelly O'Hara's retirement game. Everybody was there. Megan Rapinoe, Sue Bird, Alex Morgan, Sam Mewis. Of course, Midge Purse was there. She's on the team, but she's just out with an ACL tear. But yeah, it was seemed like a quite nice game. And that was, yeah, that's at the end of Kelly O'Hara. I'll miss you. But also, Merritt Mathias of the Angel City FC, Yeah. She also had a retirement game on Sunday. She spent 12 years in the NWSL, which, if you don't know, that is the that's like she spent the like she's as her NWSL career is as old as the NWSL itself. That was also a nice retirement game. Merritt Mathias, I will miss you. But Sid LaRue had an amazing goal to tie up the game 1-1 against Utah. So they did not lose this game. They drew. However, with this draw against Angel City, Utah is officially out of playoff contention, and because they have to win against LA. I'm going to take a little break right now because I'm getting a little bit of a phone call. So let me play you this cart real quick.
Here at KDVS, we're searching for a few public affairs hosts.
Imagine talking on air with underrepresented communities,
reviewing movies,
or even singing live karaoke. In case you're wondering, anyone is eligible.
And as you can tell, the possibilities are endless.
If you're interested, please email us at programming@kdvs.org.
Hello, Cool Cats and Kittens. I'm back. So I just learned that I'm staying here until 10:30. yeah, that's cool, I guess. That means more time to talk about women's sports, and then maybe I'll play some music for you at the end, because I will eventually run out of things to talk about. But I could talk about more stuff now. This is great, actually. But as I was saying, with Utah tying the game with Angel City, they are now officially out of playoff contention because they had to win this game. So that means there are three spots left for there are two spots left, but now there are only three teams fighting for a playoff spot. Utah did have an amazing debut season, though. They were in last for a majority of the season, and they were able to climb up the table to be in 10th place where they are right now. Like, second half, right after the Olympics, they were just on fire. I was not expecting this out of Utah. A lot of people were clowning on Utah prior to the Olympics. They were like, yeah, no, this is like a, of course, it's a debut team. Of course, they're not going to do very good. But if you look at, let's see, Bay FC, they're a debut team, too, and they're doing amazing. Good job to Utah for rebuilding themselves after the Olympics. I hope they have a good season next year. That'll be fun to see. The three teams that are fighting for the final two spots are Bay FC, Racing Louisville, and then the Portland Thorns. So right now, Racing Louisville are in 9th place with 28 points. However, they do have a goal differential of -4. Bay FC is in 8th place with 31 points, but their goal differential is -11. And then Portland is also, Portland is in 7th, and they have 31 points as well, but their goal differential is -4, I think also. Let me check. And then WSL table. No, actually their goal differential is -1. So the Portland Thorns have to win the next game in order to qualify for the playoffs. Bay FC has to win, and Racing Louisville has to lose or tie their next game in order to qualify for the playoffs. And Racing Louisville has to win their next game, and Bay FC has to lose their the next game in order for Louisville to qualify for the playoffs. If y'all are wondering what I want to happen, I would love Bay FC to make it to the playoffs. I saw them play earlier this year. It was a very great game. I thought it was going to be kind of like mid because I've heard Bay Area sports, the crowds are kind of meh. But this was it was a fun game. And they're a fun team to watch. So, and they're a debut team, and they're going to playoffs for the first time in franchise history because it's their first time in franchise history doing anything. And then also Jen Beattie's on this team. I love Jen Beattie. But yeah, they lost this past week, I believe. They lost to... Oh, no, they won. Yeah, okay, they won against North Carolina. They won 1-0. And their next game is on November 2nd against the Houston Dash. That's going to be an interesting game because for some reason the Houston Dash will not give up. They are still in last place. But they won against San Diego on Sunday, October 13th. That was the last time they won a game. Yeah. And before that, they haven't won a game since September 21st against Seattle. Seattle's in 12th place, San Diego's in 13th place currently, and then Houston's in dead last at 14th. But Houston has some fighting spirit within them, so maybe they could falter Bay's chance to make it to the playoffs. But we'll just have to see what happens. Let me see who... Okay, so Racing Louisville, their next game... Oh, their next game is against San Diego. They have a very good chance to win this game because San Diego is kind of bad right now since they fired Casey Stoney. She's been the general manager for the team since their inception. And then she got fired at the beginning of the season for, like... I don't know. It was just way too early of a firing. And then their management has not been good. There's been a lot of allegations against Jill Ellis and her team for providing... not fun working conditions. Not unsafe, but just like the morale is horrible, allegedly. But yeah, that's where Racing Louisville is playing. They might have a chance to win this also. And then in Portland, they are playing Angel City. Oh, that's going to be interesting. Because... Yeah, all Portland has to do is win or tie in order to make it to the playoffs. But if they tie and Bay FC wins... Okay, no, if they have to win or tie. They'll make it if they win or tie. They just can't lose this game. Angel City is... they're very sneaky. They towards the end of the season, they tend to become... a very good team, very strong fighting team. They tend to just give it their all at the last game. So these games are going to be very fun to watch. They're going to be great games to watch if you would like. They're out everywhere, these games. You could watch these games wherever you want. Yeah, that's the playoff talk. But what also happened in the NWSL this season is that Temwa Chawinga scored her 20th goal of the season and has now officially scored against every NWSL team but her own. In order for her to officially score against every team of the season, she would have to score an own goal, which, why would you do that? But good for her. She, like, beat the... She, like, won the NWSL. She could, like, move on to somewhere else now. She could go to another team. Maybe she could revive some life into the WSL. I'm not the biggest fan of European soccer. It's just so a little bland. I also have in my notes San Diego what happened. But we know what happened. Their management's bad. But it seems like with this table, the point disparity is insane. Like, the top four, Orlando Pride, Washington Spirit, Gotham FC, and the KC Current. The KC Current has the lowest points out of those four teams at 52. And the next team is in fifth place is the North Carolina Courage. They have 39 points. So it seems like our top contenders to make it to the finals are Orlando, Washington, DC, Gotham, and then Kansas City. Gotham, Kansas City, those four teams all have playoff, they have home field advantages in the playoffs. And that starts in, I think it starts on the 9th of November. That's when the playoffs start. If I'm not mistaken, let me check. Let me check my trusty calendar. Yeah, the 9th. It starts on the 9th. So, yeah. But until the final two spots for the playoffs are occupied, we do not know who each team's playing. But, yeah, good luck to Portland Bay FC and Racing Louisville to fighting for those two playoff spots. Remember, Portland only has to win or tie. Bay FC has to win or tie. And then Racing Louisville has to win, and Bay FC has to lose. Yeah. That's for Louisville to get in. My predictions, I think Bay FC will beat Houston. Ooh. Portland has to come in clutch over the week. They have to come in clutch in the next 2 weeks, or else they're not going to make it. They've been on a slump recently. Maybe Louisville could actually beat... who are they playing again? I think they're playing Seattle. I think they could actually beat... no, they're playing San Diego. Yeah, they could definitely beat San Diego. So I think Portland is going to have... Portland has the toughest game this week. Not this week. They're on international break this week. But Portland has the toughest games. They had the toughest final game, I think, in order to make the playoffs. Everyone else is just playing for fun. These three teams are playing for glory. But I hope everyone gets what they want and everybody has fun while doing it. And now let's talk about the WSL in England. So last week I was talking about how Jonas Ayewal of Arsenal, he was the manager, was just disappointing me. He was not doing as, the team was not doing as good as they should have been. They tied 0-0 with, I think, Leicester. Was it Leicester or was it Everton? Because one of those is worse than the other. Arsenal, WFC. Oh, they tied 0-0 with Everton. Oh, that's awful. And then they lost 5-2 to Bayern in the Champions League. And then they lost 2-1 to Chelsea. And then there was a lot of fan pressure, to be honest, on Jonas and the team, on like the Arsenal management to have him fired. It's been a big thing for maybe about a year to like not have him... it's like not have him manage the team anymore. We won a cup last season, but it was only the Continental Cup, which is not, it's not nothing, but it's not a lot. I mean, we beat Chelsea for it, which is good. But when before he was sacked, we were in sixth place, which is out of Champions League contention. I think top three make it to Champions League, and. Then on Tuesday after the show, I learned that Arsenal sacked Jonas Ayewal, and I was very happy about that. I mean, notice that Jonas is gone. Everybody rejoice. I'm very happy that he's gone. Since then, Arsenal has been, they revived themselves in the Champions League, beating Vålerenga 4-1 last Wednesday. And then on Sunday, they beat West Ham 2-0. With a penalty scored from Mariona Caldente. And I think Rosa Kafaji scored her first goal for the team in, like, the 90th minute, I think. So not too bad. If there is two last-minute goals. That's what Arsenal's about. Second half Arsenal, that's what we call them. But a lot of people are taking a notice of the shift in fan behaviors towards players and staff. On like Twitter mainly, and then also after the Chelsea game, someone graffitied outside the stadium "Jonas out," and people were like, "Oh, the fans of this women's team are going crazy. Like, WSL is not normal. This is horrible." I mean, it's not like they're acting like the men's fans don't do this. They're crazier than what the women's fans are doing. However, I guess the women fan base is not known for this type of reception to losses. We're kind of expected to take it. I think criticism of the management and maybe some of the players is warranted if they're not playing up to the par that they're supposed to be playing. I think criticize management more than the players because they're the ones coming up with the plays. They're the ones coming up with the set pieces and stuff. And they have the tactics and stuff. However, apparently on social media, some players and management have been getting abuse. Like, I guess, like, not nice words have been told to them. Criticism is good in my opinion. Everyone needs to be criticized sometimes. I need to be criticized sometimes. But abuse is not... criticism is good, abuse is bad. That's what I have written in my notes. Yeah, it's kind of the obvious. I guess a lot of this is happening on Twitter. I don't really go there. It's kind of scary on that website. But since Jonas has been fired, Arsenal has been undefeated. I think the firing was very good for the team itself. And maybe team morale, since they are now winning games. In the Champions League game, actually, in the first, like, I think the first 60 seconds, Emily Fox, a defender, scored her first goal for Arsenal. It's been her first, I think that was her first goal since, I think, the CONCACAF Women's Gold Cup, when she scored a penalty. So it's been, like, maybe half a year since she scored a goal. So that was really fun to see. It was a good game. But enough talking about Arsenal. Chelsea did their Chelsea things, and they won against Tottenham 5-2. That's no big deal. That's just what they're doing. Chelsea is a very scary team. They have Sonia Bonpastor, who was the manager of Lyon for the last few years, and she has many Champions League titles under her belt. The one thing Chelsea does not have is a Champions League title, and they are fighting to win that this year. They have a very scary team, very scary attackers, very good defenders. Maika Hamono, one of my favorite players on Chelsea currently. She is a very good striker, good player, and I wish them the best in their Champions League run. If they ever run into Arsenal, though, I wish them the worst. Man City, they narrowly beat Aston Villa. They were going to, I think they were tied 1-1 until the 90th minute when they got a late goal from Lauren Hemp. Lauren Hemp is a great player, a 24-year-old from England, and Man City has a lot of attackers, and they know how to use them well. But Villa put up a good fight against them. And then Crystal Palace, actually, is doing very good for just being promoted this season. They're very safe from relegation. I know it's only, like, the fifth game of the season. However, they tied with Liverpool. I think they're in ninth place out of... 12th? Yeah, they're in 9th place out of 12th place. Good for Crystal Palace for, like, just defending their... They've been, like, pretty good at, proving why they're in the Women's Super League. Out of the bottom four teams, was Crystal Palace in 9th, Villa in 10th, Everton in 11th, and West Ham in 12th, as a dead last. Crystal Palace is the only team to have won a game. Who did they beat? I think they beat Villa. No, they beat Leicester. That's even more impressive. I hope Crystal Palace keeps this up. However, West Ham, they are in a relegation spot. And I know that the season doesn't end until, the end of next spring. But things are not looking good for West Ham. They haven't been looking very good for the past 2 years. They got lucky that they didn't get relegated last season. Bristol City did. Bristol City wasn't doing very good either. But hopefully they could cause a scene and maybe get back up the table later this season. Yeah, so the table right now, as it stands, is Man City in first, Chelsea in second, and then Man United in third. However, Man City has played 5 games, and they have 13 points. Chelsea have played 4 games, and they have 12 points. And then Man United have also played 4 games, and they have 10 points. Because the Chelsea-Man United game was canceled due to scheduling conflicts with the Champions League that Chelsea had. They did not want to overload their players, which is reasonable. And then Brighton is in fourth with 10 points. Arsenal is in fifth with 8 points. Liverpool's in sixth with 6 points. And Leicester's in seventh with 5 points. And Tottenham is in eighth with 4 points. But what really matters here is the top 3 teams. Of course, the top team wins the league, but the top 3 make it to the Champions League. Or at least the top one gets automatic qualification into the Champions League. And then second and third place go to the Champions League playoffs, which isn't the hardest thing to make it to the Champions League from. Let's see. Okay, so still more soccer news. The international break is happening this week, so that means there's no women's club soccer happening this week. However, there are lots of international games happening. The U.S. women's national team play Iceland on the 24th, and they might also play them on Sunday. So the 24th is on Thursday. Let's see, U.S. women's national team schedule. They play them on, they play Iceland on Thursday, and they play Iceland on Sunday as well. And then next Wednesday, they play Argentina at 4, yeah. What's this about? Oh, I think this is qualification for CONCACAF. Okay, good job, Jamaica. USA has 3 games coming up this week. And then let's see. I also wrote Ireland. Ireland has their UEFA playoffs this week. Ireland, women's national team, fixtures. Yeah, sure, fixtures. Come on, Football Association of Ireland website. You got this. They're playing Georgia on Friday. And then they play Georgia again on the 29th. Which is Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, 25, 26, 27, 28, next Tuesday. And they have to win both of these games in order to make it to the Euros, the Women's Euros, which is next year in Switzerland. Best of luck to Ireland. I think England is already in England's national team games. I believe England is already in, but they have a game. Yeah, they're already in. They have a game against Germany on Friday, and they play South Africa on Tuesday, next Tuesday. Are they going to South Africa? I think it's just a friendly. Yeah, these are just friendly, so they're already into the Euros. Let's see, Australia. Who's Australia playing this week? Australia. Oh, the Matildas. I should write the Matildas. So their next game is Friday against Switzerland, and then Monday against Germany. These are all just friendlies, I think, too. But yeah, it'll be fun to watch. I wish they were playing on Saturday. But you can't win them all. And then I still have time to talk about the U.S. women's national team roster. Because that also dropped last week. I think it dropped last Wednesday. And 26 players were named to the squad. Let me make sure I get the right.